This is All Things Considered. I'm Noah Adams.
And I'm Robert Siegel.
Crazy.
Excuse me. I got plenty of
rhythm. I got
R-E-S-P. And you may ask yourself,
how does it feel?
Lovely, lovely.
This year on All Things Considered, we're listening to pieces of music we consider important in some way. The NPR 100, 20th century American pieces that were either watershed moments for their musicality or for their technique, or, as in today's example, they mark a moment in history when a type of music gained greater acceptance. In January of 1938, Benny Goodman played Carnegie Hall with his big band, his trio, and his quartet. That night, swing took center stage at the most influential concert hall in America. A recording was made of that concert that culminated in the big band's performance of Sing, Sing, Sing. The albums were eventually released in the 1950s, and at that time, Goodman made some promotional 78s that were sent to DJs so they could manufacture local interviews with the King of Swing reflecting on that night's concert.
I must say that first concert in Carnegie Hall was one of the big moments of my life. But let me tell you a little about it. That January 16th back in 1938 was a Sunday and a cold one. We didn't quite know what would happen, how we would sound, what the audience would think of us. Until they got there, we didn't even know how many people would be on hand. So we just went out and played. Our first number was Don't Be That Way, and you can hear the audience response in the record. That really made us feel good.
My name is Ross Firestone. I'm a longtime jazz fan, particularly Benny Goodman. And a few years ago, I wrote a biography of Benny called Swing, 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 The Life and Times of Benny Goodman. Well, it was significant that a big swing band could play Carnegie Hall. It was the first time that had been done. To have a jazz band, like the Goodman Orchestra, play in such a venue gave it a kind of validity and implied a kind of recognition for the seriousness of purpose that was behind the music that they played.
My name is Vanig Hovsepian. I'm also known as Turk Van Lake. And I was present at the swing concert given by Benny Goodman in Carnegie Hall on January 16th, 1938. I got there rather early in the hall and got my seat in the dress circle and watching people just taking it all in, really. We didn't know what to expect, frankly. We didn't know whether it'd be a sellout or anything like that. But little by little, the place was getting jammed and jammed and jammed. It was a very well-behaved audience. They realized that they were in Carnegie Hall. Very little whistling. The behavior was really exceptional. It wasn't like the Paramount Theater where kids jumped in the aisle and started doing a Lindy Hop. This was probably the same people, but a little more respectful, I would say, to the history of Carnegie.
You know, we didn't know the concert was being recorded at the time. We didn't find it out until afterwards. Two copies were made, one for me and one for the Library of Congress. I put mine away so carefully, I completely lost track of it for about 12 years. And then luckily, one of my daughters found it in the closet about a year ago.
The fact of the recording really made the event more memorable than it would have been if it had just been something that resided in the history books and in old clippings.
I think the next election was one of the high spots in the program. This is what we termed the killer diller in those days.
I don't think that was Benny's term. That was a term that was used for a certain kind of arrangement, that something that was fast, that was exciting, and that got people out of their seats and onto the dance floor jitterbugging.
Sing, Sing, Sing was arranged by Jimmy Mundy, one of the staff writers for Benny. And, of course, it was a format for the drums, particularly playing the tom-toms, which were the deepest drums that a jazz drummer uses. And for some reason or other, unexplainable, I guess the savage beast in man, people always react to a drummer playing on the tom-toms, and it arouses people for some reason or other. I never could figure it out.
Well, I mean, I think Gene Krupa is an important element in Sing, Sing, Sing. He starts it off and sets the groove, and the band jumps right in, and off they go. I think there are any number of other key elements to make that performance such a rousing success. You'd have to include Benny's great soulful solo in there, and Babe Russin's, the wonderful trumpet section, the bite and drive of their ensemble work, and then most of all, the very great solo by Jess Stacy, the pianist in the band. I mean, that's an extraordinary piece of music. It was totally unexpected, but he was the star of that tune, I would say, and probably the star of the whole evening.
You have to remember, in the audience was Duke Ellington. Duke was sitting in a box. Teddy Wilson, the first black musician who ever played in a white band, was playing with Goodman in the trio and quartet numbers. And Count Basie. So you had three major piano players, and Stacy was the fourth piano player. And you can imagine how intimidated he must have been. In the first part of his solo, he really flounders around. He just noodles. He's not saying a word. He's just playing fragments of this and that, and it really wasn't making sense. But Goodman let him play on. He just left him alone. And little by little, Stacy found a chord progression that was not in the song. He formed a little thing that we call a cadence. And he kept building and building and wrote a little masterpiece. If you keep listening to it, you'll hear a man's mind, his musical mind, working and striving until he actually gets it and gets it where he wants it. And that's why he was heralded as having stolen the show. I think the audience was in on the act.
We'll be right back. in 1938, swing pretty much was king, and Benny was at the head of the pack. There's no question about that. There was a lot of competition coming after him. And there was also a kind of background murmurings of dissent about the music. Sweet band leaders, unsympathetic journalists kept saying that they felt that swing was on the way out. And moralists weren't so sure about it, and they took the same kind of tack that their equivalents took with rock and roll in the 50s. They felt it was basically the devil's music, that it was corrupting a generation of young people, turning them into sexual maniacs. So Benny playing Carnegie Hall was a very good counter to all of these kind of criticisms, you know. It suggested that there was some permanence and some seriousness about what they were doing, that it was actually able to play in such a venue, and it also gave it a cultural validity.
Goodman biographer Ross Firestone. We also heard from Turk Van Lake, who was in the audience in Carnegie Hall in 1938, and from Benny Goodman himself, from a recording that he made to promote the concert albums. The NPR 100 continues next Monday on NPR's All Things Considered.
It's NPR, National Public Radio.